Hi, I'm David Christwood, and I'm here at Sharp Cloud, and I'm with Andy and Rusty. Guys, would you like to introduce yourself to the camera?
Hi, I'm Rusty Johnson. I'm CTO at Sharp Cloud.
Hi, yeah, I'm Andy Brickliffe, and I'm the Chief Architect of Sharp Cloud.
So, can you tell us a little bit about the company and particularly the application that you've built?
Yeah, sure. We formed Sharp Cloud about a year ago because we recognised the need for an application to solve a road mapping problem where people are trying to do high level planning, strategic planning, and we wanted to do something that was very visual but also collaborative and social. So the timing with cloud computing and rich visual tool sets like Silverline meant that this is a great opportunity for us to get started and build a tool.
Yeah, definitely. I think the key was delivering through a browser experience. There's, a lot of classic enterprise tools out there are very much based on the desktop. And I think we saw the opportunity where using the cloud with the sort of global distribution of teams nowadays, if we could produce a tool that that supports that sort of environment and deliver through the browser, so no sort of IT headaches getting installed, then we felt we're onto a good opportunity there.
So, right, let's actually go and see the application in action.
Okay, so this is Sharp Cloud, and this is probably one of the views that we most associate with the application. It's like an immersive 3D world. These cubes that are floating around are effectively the ideas or events that we think are coming up in the future, and it's quite sort of discoverable. You can fly through this world, you can go and have a look at things, you can click on events in the future and sort of travel there in time, and then that cube will open up and show you things that are inside it which are of interest to you. So you can start understanding things like the characteristics of that event, or perhaps there'll be some comments, or maybe there'll be some resources attached to this. So you can start attaching Word documents or videos, and I'll show you some of those in a second. You can also find other events quite easily by just clicking down here and looking. You can see how these things pop up. It's really sort of interactive and nice. Click on here, come back to the view, and fly around, discover some more things. One of the other things that's really important here is being able to understand relationships, and we can put the relationship view on. You can get an idea that all these things are connected together, and start drilling in and understanding. This Web 2.0 event is connected to all these other events. I might want to actually have a look in more detail and see. And now I understand a bit more about why these things are related. Click again. I can really start exploring and trying to understand what information is available here, but it's really a 3D world, a very immersive place to be.
As you can see, the UI technology is incredibly important to us, hence why we chose to use Silverlight, because it really does give us the ability to give us this rich, immersive world, yet it's still, as you can see, sat there in IE, which is phenomenal. So any enterprise around the world can easily install this, get up and running very quickly, and have this rich visual experience.
At the same time, this isn't the only view that we have here. Obviously, this is quite an exciting one, but a simple view might be just, I want to look at things in a wrap panel. I might want to change the size of some of these things and look at a bit more data. I can also view this maybe in a more traditional way, maybe as a Gantt chart. Because I'm in edit mode here, I can actually move things around in time, which is quite useful. If I had other people collaborating with me at the same time, they would be able to see those real-time updates. And finally, there's the last view, which is really powerful, is this compare view, which is effectively a bubble chart where I can start saying, show things by different characteristics. So I've got benefit on this y-axis, cost on the x-axis, and things are sized by the level of risk. So I can tell that in this corner here, this is where I want to be, but some of these things are potentially not things that things that maybe I want to be aware of. I can change the scale, everything moves around. It's a really interactive, rich way of looking at quite complex data.
Okay, so we sort of discussed about the collaboration piece earlier. So what I'm kind of showing you here is I'm logged in my browser here, and what I actually want to do is comment on this particular event. So if I do hello channel 9, what that will do then is then be actually put into the system, and we have a long polling infrastructure built on Azure, which essentially means that all that will then be pushed to anyone else who's actually logging in onto this roadmap at the current time. So as you can imagine, we're using some queuing to do this and the services, and then picking it up, sending it to other clients, and hopefully if we pan across, we'll see there at the top of our activity feed, this is another user logged in, that they've actually received that. So then we can click on that, and as you see there at the top there, it's now now appeared on our comment list. So it just shows that the capabilities of the platform to really push the collaborative nature of the software. Okay, so just to give you sort of an idea of the architecture we're using within Sharp Cloud, really it starts with the client where we're using obviously Silverlight, as we mentioned previously. What we're actually doing is using the client HTTP library, which came in Silverlight 3, which gives us much more flexibility in terms of using REST services. We can deal with HTTP response codes, etc. So that then, from the UI, talks to our REST services. We actually use an open source product called OpenRaster, which essentially just gives you the ability to really nice REST services and works lovely on Azure, in an Azure web role. So really the architectural design for us is to get the data from Silverlight to Azure as quickly as possible. And we achieve that by obviously sending it to the REST service, and then at that point, as far as Silverlight's concerned, the data is saved. Now what we do then is to provide scalability, and that data is then pushed into Azure storage, or specifically Azure queues. And from there we have worker roles whose sole job it is to sit there, pick that out of the queues, and then store that into the table storage or blob storage if it's a resource. And then that gives us a very, very scalable method for building out our application. So if we go from 10 users to 100 users to 1,000 users to a million users, if we become Facebook, then of course that architecture, along with Azure's capabilities, means that we can cope with that demand, which was a big, big choice for us in terms of why we chose the architecture and why we chose Azure.
So I'm with Joe now. Joe's looking at one of the less glamorous aspects of the development cycle, but in my mind, a really important one, that of the whole logging and diagnostic stuff, because you can't just attach a debugger to the cloud. So tell us a little about what you're using and what role it plays.
Yeah, so as you said, you can't attach a debugger to the cloud. So with Azure, you've got these virtualized instances, and you know, you want to get some diagnostic information from that. Unlike if you've got an on-premises system, you can't log on and look at Perfmon or open up your IIS logs. So it's really important to be able to still have access to that information. And with the November release, Azure gave you capability to have pull diagnostics information using the diagnostics library. So what we're doing currently is pulling performance counters such as memory usage, working set, processor utilization, all of our logging and tracing, so if we throw an exception, it goes in the logs. So all of that information is captured and stored in Azure table and blob storage. So at the moment, we're currently pushing all of that diagnostic information every 10 minutes. That information, as I said, Windows event logs, everything like that. The cool thing we're thinking of doing in the future is using information like performance counters, such as CPU, pull that information down periodically, and we could scale up a number of instances we have according to demand. So that demand would be measured on, you know, CPU utilization. So if that's in the high 90s or something, we know that, you know, we've got increased load and we need to spin up. And then, you know, later on when that CPU goes down, we can then scale it down. So it gives us, you know, a fantastic ability. Another great thing with the configuration of the diagnostics library is that it can be done externally. So every time you want to change the diagnostics configuration, you can do it from, you know, on premises, push that information up, and it updates it without having to do a full service update in the cloud.